When a Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly meeting in March was flooded by angry parents, teachers, and citizens protesting potential budget cuts to local schools, Assemblymember Agnes Moran had a suggestion. For reference, Agnes is the one calling into the meeting by telephone. She's speaking to Colleen Scanlon, who is on the school board but attended the meeting as a citizen and spoke in support of schools during public comment.
Have you personally contacted any of your legislatures?
No, I have not.
Okay, thank you.
To an angry parent asking the assembly not to force a steep budget cut onto the school district's already diminished budget, the advice may have seemed out of step with the issue at hand. But for Moran and other assembly members, the recent controversy over the school district budget injects a fresh dose of adrenaline into local efforts to influence an Alaska-wide civic debate. And while elected representatives at the state level say a resolution may be years away, assembly members and at least one borough official are hopeful. If things go their way, a new law clarifying Alaska's constitution will solve one of the borough's budget problems forever.
And the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development in the executive branch defines basic need as a level of funding that provides all districts with needed resources.
Borough Manager Dan Bockhorst usually talks with careful deliberation. But when he gets going about the minutiae of Alaska's history and the effort to make the state fund the total cost of schools' basic needs, you can tell the interest is both personal and professional.
So the rub comes in terms of how that basic need is funded. The state fails to fully fund basic need for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough.
The borough manager's goal, which he states with typical caution, is now the official borough assembly goal. That is, scrap what is legally known as the required local contribution. In layman's terms, that's the percentage of a school district's budget that a borough in Alaska must pay. It currently stands at 20%, while the state foots the other 80%. Ask a borough assembly member, and they'll be quick to tell you that the borough contributes more than the minimum 20% every year. That 80-20 equation may seem generous to the borough, but to Bockhorst and the borough assembly, there shouldn't even be a required minimum contribution in the first place. They point to a passage in the state's constitution that says the state will establish a school system on its own. Adding insult to injury, Agnes Moran says, is that some parts of Alaska do have their schools paid for entirely by the state.
Theory being is that since they're in the unorganized borough, they don't have the tax base necessary to support a borough, to support a local contribution. Now, that isn't correct. There are areas in the unorganized borough that have resources vastly superior to ours locally. But because of the penalty, the borough penalty of, you know, the education tax, they have voted down on numerous occasions to organize as a borough. They're on education welfare. Why get off of it?
The parts of Alaska Moran refers to were too underdeveloped, underpopulated, or impoverished to form boroughs or provide for their own schools at statehood. But opponents of the current funding program say, over time and through complicated legislative maneuvers, an unfair system has emerged. Now they say boroughs contribute more than $200 million a year to their local schools, while large parts of Alaska, including areas wealthy enough now to chip in, are not required to contribute anything. Those who want to change the system, including Ketchikan's assembly, contend that communities in Alaska were promised around the time of statehood that they would not be penalized for forming boroughs. Even more, they claim, for a period of Alaska's history, the state did pay entirely for the schools. That is the background, albeit a very complicated background. But plans to change the system are beginning to gather steam right here in Ketchikan. A resolution recently approved by the borough assembly gives three options. First, local leaders will try until June to convince state officials to sponsor a bill repealing the required local contribution. Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson, who also represents Ketchikan, says the potential for that route in the near future is grim.
The resistance is basically the resistance is that we have a reduced budget. We don't have enough money. We cannot sustain the budget that we have. And I wish I could just say it. Well, we've got this deal and we're going to go forward and it's going to make a change, but they're just not going to do it this year.
If or when the legislative option fails by June, the borough's legal counsel will give recommendations on the two remaining options. One is, quite simply, to sue the state. But in a preliminary borough report on the school funding issue, lawyers already recommend against that expensive and time-consuming strategy. Finally, the borough could take its case to the people. Although a complicated and potentially lengthy procedure, voters could repeal the required minimum contribution through a statewide referendum. If those three options fail, Agnes Moran has a fourth suggestion.
Perhaps it's time. We could dissolve the borough. We were the first ones forced in, so maybe we'll be the first ones forced out.
That nuclear option would absolve the borough of any responsibility to pay the required local contribution, and theoretically would force the state to pay for basic needs of Ketchikan's schools. But both Moran and Bockhorst agree that dissolving the Ketchikan Gateway Borough would prove complicated, to say the least. In any event, over the next few months, a page will be turned in the ongoing debate over school funding in Alaska. In Ketchikan, I'm Sean Carlson.